Sacred Heart Church, Father Bazaar and I each kind of do a tag team of hearing confessions. One of us hears first and the other one follows in our own individual confessions. He was doing it first in his, and I wanted to put up a picture in my confessional, so I brought a hammer in with me, and I saw all the people in his line look like they weren't going to come over to my line at all when they saw that hammer, but I wasn't going to use it on anybody. I was just going to put up a picture, you know? So not to fear about going to confession. Sir Winston Churchill, speaking at the House of Commons in Britain, in England, May 13th, 1940, in the face of the Nazi bombardment, right, said, "I have nothing but blood, toil, tears, and sweat to offer you. We have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. We have before us many months of struggle and suffering. What is our aim? It is victory. Victory at all costs. Victory in spite of all terrors. Victory, however long and hard the road may be. For without victory, there is no survival." Martin Luther King Jr. said the very same words in preaching to the protesters and those who were marching in the various social justice parades and so forth, that the ordeal would be long, but that there would be victory in the end. And that is exactly what Jesus was trying to tell the apostles here. They were expecting victory right off the bat, and that this was going to be some kind of like a military victory for the kingdom of Israel. And Jesus had to show them that this was actually a spiritual victory, and that there was going to be a lot of suffering involved. And indeed, that he himself would have to die, but rise gloriously on the third day, all right? So the gospel is not about health and wealth. You'll have a lot of people preaching that these days, that if you follow God, you're going to be healthy and wealthy, all right? That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord, at all. Jesus does not promise us those things. Jesus himself was poor. And Jesus himself went through all sorts of pain and suffering, not to mention the crucifixion on Good Friday. And so Jesus tells the apostles, if you want to be my disciple, you have to follow me. You got to pick up your cross and follow after me. So there are going to be pains and sufferings in our lives. There's going to be good times. There's going to be wonderful blessings and so forth as well, right? But there's going to be pain and suffering in this life. Jesus does not promise to take us out of it, but he promises to see us through it. If he takes you to it, he will see you through it, right? So we each have to carry our own individual crosses behind our Lord in order to be faithful to him. We've got to go through the cross in order to ultimately end up at the resurrection on high in heavenly glory. Tomorrow is the feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. This was a historical event. St. Helen, the mother of the first Christian emperor, had gone to the Holy Land, and they dug in the area of Calvary and the burial place, and they found three crosses. And so they said these must be the cross of Jesus and the two thieves next to him. But they said, which one is the one for Jesus? And so they had a woman who was deathly ill, and they touched each one of the crosses to her. The third cross that they used brought her healing. And they said, this must be the true cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it has been, they lifted it up high for everybody to be able to see. So that's why they call this the Exaltation of the Cross. Later on, it was captured by the Persians, and the Emperor Heraclius recaptured it right around this date. And so it also celebrates this event as well. But the emperor wanted to bring in this relic of the cross dressed in all of his finery, you know. So they had this procession to bring it back to the church where it had been honored. But at a certain point, he just couldn't go farther. And the bishop of Jerusalem said, maybe you ought to be more like Jesus and take off all those fine clothes and so forth. Put on something more humble, which he did. And at that point, he was able to proceed with the cross and to place it back into that church where it was honored as the true cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. On Tuesday, right after the exaltation of the cross, we always celebrate September 15th, the Feast of the Sorrowful Mother, Our Lady of Sorrows, right? Because remember that Simeon had predicted to Mary that a sword would pierce her heart, and the secret thoughts of many would be made known, would be laid bare, right? And so that is the heart of Mary, which the sword had to pierce her heart before it could pierce the heart of Jesus, her son. It went through her heart first to the heart of Jesus, her son. She suffered with him emotionally, spiritually, from her heart as she saw her son crucified and die on the cross. She is the sorrowful mother. She knows the pains and sufferings of our lives. She is with us when we carry our crosses as well. And it was on this day, 2 days after 9/11, the terrorist bombing of the World Trade Centers, and they crumbled, and almost 3,000 lives were lost, not only there, but also in the other plane that crashed in Pennsylvania, and then the Pentagon crash as well. Some 3,000 souls were lost. But it was on this day that the workers, as they were taking away the rubble in that World Trade Center area, that they found this perfect cross made out of steel beams, 2 tons of weight, 20 feet high, and a perfect vertical bar that had just been, when everything fell down, it remained like that. But it was part of the structure, right? So they saw this as a kind of a special miracle, and that cross is now in a museum nearby or a church nearby where it can be honored as a remembrance of the victory of Jesus over terrible pain and suffering and even terrorist attacks and tragedies like that, right? God is here in the midst of our sufferings. He is not separated from us. He is here with us. That is what it means that God came, took on human flesh to be with us in this world of sorrows that we do live in. So if you heard those Bible readings well today, we heard from Isaiah chapter 50, and it talked about the suffering servant. It said that he would be beaten, he would be spat upon, but that he would accept it. And that's exactly what Jesus did, right? They spat upon him, they beat him, they put a crown of thorns on him, they crucified him, and he accepted it all because he trusted in God. That's how that thing, that passage finishes it. I trust in God, even the psalm today. God, save my life. I trust in you. And in the gospel today, we come to the very central passage of the gospel of Mark. We're going through, this is year B, A, B, and C. We have 3 years on Sundays that we look at the different readings, right? And we're in the gospel of Mark, right here, chapter 8. There's 16 chapters of Mark, so it's right in the middle of his gospel passage, his whole gospel. And so it's the central message. It is the middle, central, smack dab in the middle message of his gospel. This big question that Jesus poses to them. Who do you say that I am? Other people were saying you're John the Baptist, you're Elijah, you're one of the prophets. But he says, who do you say that I am? And Peter speaks up for all of the apostles and he says, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You're the one that we've been waiting for thousands of years, right? Jewish people, the Israelites, waiting for that Messiah to come and save them. But immediately he says, don't tell anybody, which is kind of strange, right? Because he knows that people are going to misinterpret it. They're going to think he's going to be a military kind of savior. And that's not what he came to be. He came to be a spiritual savior. And he came to carry that cross. So he says, immediately you have to carry your crosses. Peter doesn't understand. Peter's thinking in human terms. He says, Lord, no, we don't want you to die. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. That's not you speaking, Peter. That's Satan speaking through you. You're thinking like a human being. You're thinking like a devil, really. Because Satan wanted to stop Jesus from going to the cross. But Jesus says, I have to go to the cross. That is my mission. That is the gateway to resurrection and to my victory. And so it must be that way for me. It must be that way for you. And Peter suffered crucifixion too. You remember that story that tradition talks about where he eventually got to Rome, the Roman Empire, before it was converted. And he knew that he was going to have to suffer crucifixion. And so he started leaving town. And then he has this apparition of Jesus going the opposite direction, back into town. And so Peter says in Latin, Quo vadis, Domine? Where are you going, Lord? And Jesus says, I'm going back. I'm going into Rome to be crucified again, right through the body of Christ, through all the Christians who were being martyred. And so Peter repents and he turns around and he goes back into Rome. And indeed he is crucified, but he says, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. Crucify me upside down. And so they did crucify him upside down, right? In the Roman emperor's circus, Nero's circus, they call it. You know, where they have these little racetrack things, and that's where they crucify the Christians, right down the middle of that racetrack. And so Peter, as he was hanging upside down, could certainly see that Egyptian obelisk that the Romans had carried there, many of them in Rome, and that one right in the middle of the spine of that circus, certainly he saw that. And you know where that obelisk stands today? They moved it about 100 yards, and it's in the middle of St. Peter's Square. If you've ever seen it on television, there's that big obelisk in the middle of St. Peter's Square. You know what's on top of that obelisk? A relic of the true cross, the one that St. Helen, the first Christian emperor's mother, found, right? So there's a relic, part of that true cross is on top of that obelisk, way high up in the air, as a sign of the victory of Jesus Christ over even the pagan empires, right? And in all the crucifixions and all the things that they did against our ancestors, we are victorious in Jesus our Lord. And the words that are there say, Christ conquers, Christ rules, Christ reigns. Christ is victorious over all that has come against us. Archbishop Dolan, Cardinal Dolan in New York said, the cross is the classroom of sanctity. It is the professor of perfection. It is the arena of heroic virtue. We have to pass through the cross in order to be perfected into that image and likeness of Almighty God. It is the key to heaven. The cross is the key that opens up the lock of heaven's gate, right? And only Jesus could build a bridge between earth and heaven with two pieces of wood. Only Jesus, right? He did that on the cross for each and every one. And right here at this Holy Mass, we are privileged to come and witness the death of Jesus right here on this altar. That's what we're doing at every Sunday Mass, his death and his resurrection. Because the death is portrayed, this is what Jesus did the night before he died, the gift that he gave to us. When he said, this is my body, this is my blood. And the double consecration is kind of a sign of that death, right? If you separate body and blood, you've got death. And that's what is shown right here on this altar, right? The body of Christ, the blood of Christ. Of course, it is the resurrected body of Christ, the resurrected blood of Christ. He's present under every little particle of the body of Christ, under every drop of the blood of Christ. You could just receive one, you don't have to receive both. And you're receiving the full Jesus, right? But you'll also see that the priest will take part of that body of Christ, break it off, and drop it into the chalice, just as a sign of that this is the resurrected Lord. He is body, blood, soul, and divinity, totally, truly present. And so what a great blessing for us to come witness his death, but also his resurrection, his victory. And that's what we celebrate today on Sundays, the victory of the Lord. During the week, we have to carry those crosses, right? Today we celebrate with joy and gladness. And during the week, it can be a mixture of joys and sorrows, right? But all those sufferings, we offer them up to the Lord in union with Jesus on the cross. And God uses that suffering for the salvation of our souls and the salvation of the souls of the world. So no suffering should ever go to waste. So let us rejoice in the Lord. Let us carry our crosses valiantly behind him and know that a glorious resurrection awaits us in heaven. Amen.